Lord Father God, let the truth come out, because this house has no idea who or what to believe. Plus, Cam and Leroy have a cell phone. Everyone picks a partner. Tony sadly leaves the game. Laurel and Nicole have a real conversation. Rachel rides for Ayana. Kara rides for Rachel. Cam just wants the truth. And Jasmine gets to go full Bride of Chucky in a true throwback moment. It's the challenge. All Stars 4, Episode 3 recap coming up right now. What up, my fellow challenge lovers? Welcome to The Challenge Historian, where we dive deep into all things MTV's The Challenge, past, present, or future, if it's happening in The Challenge universe. We are here to document it. I am your host and dedicated Challenge Historian, and today, on this beautiful Wednesday morning, we, of course, are not on MTV. We're over on Paramount Plus, All Stars 4, Episode 3, our second week of coverage, our second week of getting to say how amazing is it to have all of these wonderful OGs and other not OGs, but still wonderful to have back in our life, people back in our lives. Third episode of All Stars 4, that is what we are here to cover. There is not much to touch on, really, before we just dive on in. The agenda for the podcast today will be same as always. We will do a little bit more of a chronological walk through this episode. It just sets up a little bit better for that than the last couple have, where we've done a few more just high-level topics. And other than that, the agenda for the rest of this podcast, you know, in the weeks to come, All Stars 4 coverage will continue Wednesday, midday time frame. You will get these recap episodes and Survivor coverage on the weekends with my good pal Tony. So without further ado, and different Tony, but just saying Tony made me already get a little bit sad, because there is a couple sad moments in this episode, most of all, including when Tony time has to tap out. We will cover that and more. Let's get into it. All Stars 4, Episode 3. I haven't messed it up. I don't think I'm going to mess it up. Next week will be easy. This was the hard one. 3 and 4, not mixing those up. All Stars 4, Episode 3, diving in. Here we go. We start with the opening house segment, everything pre-Daily Challenge. Yet again, they are to the Daily Challenge quite quickly in these episodes, which I am a bit surprised by. This one was, you know, leaving room for between daily and elimination as it needed to. A lot went down. We'll, of course, talk about it all. But yeah, there wasn't a ton in the pre-house segment, but still some things worth talking about. First and foremost, Tina gets to narrate the last week on, and it's just as great and wonderful as when Steve did it on episode 2. So this does seem to just be a thing that they did, that the winner or one of the winners, because we do have two winners, this I'm very interested, next week, do Rachel and Kiefla get to do it together or not, or does one of them get picked? But I love this opening narration by the previous, you know, elimination winner, and just having a cast member do it and kind of making it as, you know, kitschy as possible and really fun. Love that. Cam and Leroy are one of the two. There's three things take focus in the pre-Daily Challenge segment. One of them is Cam and Leroy are going to be a part of this episode, a story within this episode. And the main question I have, though, we'll talk more about them later, but in the beginning, we see them looking at photos of Kingston, baby Kingston, on a phone. And I need to know, what are the phone privileges different on All Stars versus a flagship? Are we convinced you to come do this show like weeks, a month, a couple months after you had a child, different, you know, circumstances that can be negotiated for what is allowed? Is that phone permanently on airplane mode? And they're like, you can look at photos and you can turn it on at this time to make this phone call. I need to know the rules. I was kind of shocked that they showed us that one of them, or two of them in this case, had a phone. And then also, it's discussed later in the episode, but I'm just going to bring it up here because it kind of goes along with, like, what are the rules here for them? And also, how is this all working? Cam is still producing milk, and I assume it seems like not just because, like, the body is producing it and so I'm going to get it out, but seems to maybe be sending it to Kingston. So, like, is Kingston nearby? Is he, like, whoever is staying with him, watching over him, local there to wherever they're filming, South Africa, where they're filming this? Or are they shipping? I don't know anything about how this works. Clearly, a man who has not had a child. So anyone who wants to fill me in on exactly how this situation works when mom is, you know, across the world potentially, or can she be? I don't know. I was just very interested in how they are helping Leroy and Cam navigate the fact that they wanted both of them back. The audience wanted both of them back. They were both willing to do it, but have this, you know, at the time, couple month old child at home. Then the sad part hits, though. The big, you know, Rachel, Veronica, and Tina are the second of the three things that kind of take center stage at the beginning part. We aren't going to talk about that here. We'll talk about them a lot later. Tony leaving the game is the third and final thing that takes center stage to exit stage left then, because he literally exits stage left. It completely comes out of nowhere. We get little to no explanation. It is simply Tony, we flash, you know, just cut scene to Tony's going to wake Nicole up in the middle of the night to tell her he has to leave, and says goodbye. And then his bags are just packed, and it cue him getting in the car and leaving and saying, you know, Tony time, we'll be back. And it's just over. It's just like 90 seconds and we're in and out. This is happening. This has happened. It is done. Tony is gone. And this is obviously one of those situations where, like, I respect the privacy. You don't have to tell us what's going on. Absolutely don't need to know. But also, I can't stop thinking about what is, you know, I respect your privacy, but still I want to know type of situations. It is definitely one of those. So hopefully whatever it was, whatever the, if there was an issue of any kind, hopefully that was resolved. And, you know, the best possible outcome came of that for Tony and his family and whoever was involved in this. But it's a huge loss for the season. You know, massive respect for Cyrus. Love Cyrus to death. Love that he continues to get to showcase, because the last time we saw him, he was like in the beginnings of this incredible fitness journey he's been on over the last couple of years now. And so this time getting to see him come into the house, and as they all say when he first runs out, you know, like, damn, looking good, Cyrus. Like, Cyrus is putting in work daily for multiple years on end now. Cyrus is looking amazing, is super fit these days. So I love getting to see that. I love getting to see him here, but he's been on a couple of the All-Star seasons, and so we don't get the same rush of excitement of someone coming back into the game the way Tony did, of like, we didn't think we'd see them again. We haven't seen them in this format. It's so great they're back. And then, boom, they're pulled from us. So while it's great that Cyrus, you know, fantastic as far as an alternate goes, a replacement goes, couldn't do better, it still is a big shock to the system how quickly and just out of nowhere Tony is just gone and we've lost him. And it just leaves us really thankful that we know he is potentially still actively filming season 40. They are actively filming season 40. And I know he went, we cut the spoilers off after who actually left to film, you know that. So can't wait to see him on season 40. Wish we would have got to see him more here, but hopefully whatever the situation was, best case scenario was the result. On to the daily challenge then. And I got to say, loved every aspect of this daily challenge. There's a lot to break down from this segment of the show. First and foremost, puzzle plus endurance is just, you know, best case challenge formula. It's a little bit like in Survivor, you know, once they hit the merge and a majority of the games are basically just like muscular endurance and, you know, will to win, balance, endurance type of things is just their go-to formula. They got a couple others, but that one's going to be hit more often than not the majority of the time. I feel like puzzle plus endurance is becoming that for not just All Stars, but for all across the challenge, that the daily challenges, you know, half of them or so should probably be this style of, we're going to make you run and carry some stuff, but that stuff you're carrying is a puzzle piece to do some sort of mental gymnastics here involved as well. So I love this game, playing the dominoes. They're big, heavy. You do got to run back and forth on a hot day carrying these big, heavy things, you know, and you being faster at that, better at that is good, but you still got to be able to lay the dominoes in the right way, figure out a little bit of strategy of how do we pull these out? Do we, you know, how do we do all of this thing? Because as we see, Brad and Rachel are the on paper dominant team. They should be able to run and carry these things best of anyone there probably, but they end up in the bottom because they can't get the strategy part. So I love puzzle plus endurance. I think it's fantastic. Five in the middle, five, they end up in, you know, there are 11 pairs. There's 22 people left at this moment. So two people, one pair wins and is safe. If they have a star, that ends up being Adam and Avery. Five in the middle, five in the losers group is an interesting split. That's pretty heavy on the loser side. I'm interested to see if they stick with the big loser group so that there's more people to choose from and also less people then choosing. Because if you would have just told me, hey, you know, we know the format now, there's a winning pair, there's a middle group, and there's the loser group, I would have thought the loser group is going to be like three again, maybe three pairs, maybe four. So five was a bit of a shock, but I enjoy it because I do think it adds a lot more element, again, to have more people to pick from. And to have less people picking, making that decision that weighed a little bit heavier to only have 10 people voting instead of potentially 12 or 14 voting in this situation. So I love all of that. And so far, we're going to update every week until it happens because it's going to happen. We said coming out of episode 1 and 2 last week, our biggest concern with this format was it seems like you should lose on purpose in a daily challenge if you start to think like it's my only way to get a star is to go into elimination. I'd kind of like to go into elimination. Maybe I just throw or actively quit or don't try in the daily challenge. So far, no one tries to do that here. It seems like no one is that worried about how much time they have to get a star quite yet. They're still on the defensive side of seems like if you have a star, it's probably going to get stolen. And so I'd like to be the one stealing it late versus acquiring it early. So we'll see if that continues. I'm still nervous about, you know, where the incentive structure lays here. It's way better than we could have ever hoped for. Again, it's a huge improvement on the skull star idea in Twist. We'll see if the one downside that I see out there ever comes to fruition or not. Now, they have to choose partners. We've referenced that a few times. And choosing partners at this moment is a very crucial information gathering event for the game. Who are they going to choose? It shows us some alliance lines. It shows us some, you know, abilities to win and get yourself in a position to go in and get a star type of thing based on who ends up with who here. And there was some surprising choices. Let's start with the mild Gong and then go all the way up to the most surprising, probably. Brad choosing Rachel over Kara was not really even surprising, but it was at least a tiny bit of a question in the back of my head. I expected him to go with Rachel, but I thought there was a little bit of a chance that he would say, maybe I want to go best case scenario here and I want to go with Kara. But he's clearly sticking with the OGs. He's sticking with the Mean Girl trio for sure as far as Alliance goes. This solidifies that. Then, speaking of Kara, she also doesn't get picked by Brandon. And now I know I'm phrasing this as like the men picked the women. They all picked each other. But I think Brad was potentially Rachel. I'm phrasing it that way because I think Rachel and Kara probably were both, if they didn't say, Brad, do you want to work together? They were both open to it. And so he's kind of the one making that decision maybe there. And then I think Brandon is for sure has to know Laurel and Kara. I would guess he is actually Kara's first pick and Laurel's first pick. Maybe Kara's first pick is Leroy. We'll come to that in a minute. But him picking Laurel, him and Laurel ending up together, I was a bit shocked. I thought he and Kara were going to be together. I predicted they would be together last week because I predicted they would be together and win the daily challenge. So I really thought that was going to be like they're friendly off of the show. They did seasons together and were always friends on the show. I thought that's where that was going. That's a big pickup for Laurel to have Brandon, you know, wanting to work with her. That's a really dominant pair that could definitely win a lot of dailies. And so that was big. And then that leads to Cam and Leroy, who I totally get and totally assumed would, same as they did on Double Agent, say, it makes no sense to be partnered together. We should be separate here, keep our power as spread as possible. Cam ending up with Ryan makes sense, just where the line allegiances are fall, who are the obvious pairs, who's left after that then has to figure out who makes the most sense here. That one, those two ending up together makes sense when you lay out all the people that were available. Leroy, though, ending up with Flora is probably the oddest team that we see here. And it's where I have to ask the question, like Kara is openly friends and like good friends, visits, hangs out with Leroy and Cam. And I know by the end of this episode, we start to get that little bit of like Cam and Kara still aren't going to maybe work together on this season. But how is Leroy not like, Kara, it's me and you. I'm not partnered with Cam. I want the best in the house. We're friends. We're working together, right? Like where is he not pushing for that? Where is Kara not pushing for that? Why would you not want to be partnered with Leroy? And so I was shocked by that for sure. And then, you know, on the flip side of it, though, my guy Ace, who I love to death, is the big winner because he ends up with Kara. And I thought for sure he was going to be roped into Veronica or Tina. Like, for sure, I thought Ace was 100% one of those two was like, hey, you're with us. You can pick between the two of us, but you're with one of us. And instead, he's with Kara. So absolutely amazing for my guy Ace. And it's still a solid partner for Kara. I'm surprised that Brad, Brandon, Leroy, one of those three doesn't end up with Kara. That's definitely the shocker. They played the dominoes aspect of all of it. The talking points around the dominoes was all hilarious and super duper fun. Leroy, let's talk results now. Stick with Leroy in the bottom again, making me a little nervous that he's in the bottom 2 out of 3 times here. Rachel and Brad's poor communication was a bit shocking, and the fact that they get last when they should have been, you know, again, they're not, they both can do puzzles. They both have, you know, it's not their strong suit. Their strong suit is being strong and athletic and endurance and everything else. So they should have had that part of it down. And it was a little striking that they ended up in the bottom group, especially with, you know, there was no throwing this by any means. They both had a star. They both wanted to win. So a bit shocking there. Avery and Adam's relationship launching with a winning daily challenge is amazing. Spoiler, if we haven't discussed it the last couple weeks or you're not aware, these two end up in a relationship off the show and they were, you know, at Challenge Manias together and everything. So it wasn't to be hidden. So that is happening, whether it happens on camera or, you know, after they've left filming and, you know, are now friends and get together. I don't know exactly, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this is the moment it starts, whether it is that's true or not, because it's amazing to get to say that a relationship started by a daily challenge win together. That's fantastic. And then finally, just got to say, slide it in there as one of the people who was fiercely defensive of casting Jay on this season and was excited about it. Him and Nicole get third. He's kind of doing well in all of the daily challenges. Just putting it out there. Back to the house we go, and it's Ayana versus everybody. It's kind of Ayana versus Cam, but it's Ayana versus everybody. We never get full details after last week exactly what happened. Clearly, whatever went down, though, with Janelle got ugly quickly and was kind of a one-sided. Everything we've learned thus far, been alluded to thus far, seemed like a pretty one-sided attack from Ayana to Janelle. And so the table is set that she is out there lying. We watched all last episode. She is lying about someone and doing so fiercely and, you know, driving someone out of the game and out of the house, driving them to quit because they do not want to be around her anymore. Stirring shit up to that level. That is the level of shit stirring and lying that Ayana did last episode to set the table for then this episode, which is just incredible. She then does say Cam and Leroy need to split up. She says it, though, in a way that is where it's kind of middle ground here. She's talking to Cyrus after the clip we see when she says this. She's talking to Cyrus and she's filling him in. Cyrus just came into the game. He needs to know where's things been the first week here, whatever. Like what's the temperature? Who's doing what? Who's working with who? And so this is just natural to her filling in, like Cam and Leroy obviously together, and that's powerful. They got a lot of friends. We need to split that up. And she doesn't say it in a like our target is them. It is an informative, and I'm sure there was a much more that came with this of like filling in all parts of the house, and we're seeing the clip of her just talking about this. So like she is throwing their names out there, but it's not like 100% like, hey, we got to get them out of the situation. So I see a little bit why she would be like, I didn't say that exactly, but her saying I never said that as a complete lie is clearly a lie. And so she gets called out on it in a mostly level-headed, appropriate way. We'll talk on Cam's part in a minute here, but I think Cam is not anything too aggressive or any means, or is not like, you know, coming at her with like, it's not the most accusatory. It is a question, which is, it's a hard line to follow. Like I'm asking a question, I'm not accusing. And I think she lands on the I'm asking a question side of things. I think she gets up to the line where she's like, I'm willing to accuse, but I'm still only asking the question. So I think Cam does this appropriately. And Ayana just goes off, just completely goes off, isn't going to have it, is swearing on her children, is where are they? Point them out to me, which is just fantastic theater for sure. And it just seems par for the course. This whole blow up that takes place, it's not, you know, this situation with her isn't quite like a can dish it but can't take it situation. There's hints of that in there, but her emotions are volatile, for sure. She can be easily brought to the point, whether it is her doing the shit stirring or someone saying, look at this pot that I'm stirring. Do you want to take over the ladle? Absolutely. I'll take over the ladle and I'll stir it faster. It's just ready for action, I guess would be the best way to put it. She is ready for action at all given times, which seems par for the course. It is what we knew of her way back when in the early days of the show when she first graced our screens. And it is what we have now known from her in the couple seasons of All Stars that she done. The drama that ensues, Jasmine going full Bride of Chucky on her and yelling is definitely, it's fun and interesting. And this portion of it, you know, does not seem to cross any lines or anything where we're like a little nervous about the Janelle portion last week. I'm like, I would like to know all of the facts of what went down before, you know, whether this crossed that proverbial line that I always talk about as we as a viewers are like, we do want people to argue and fight and stuff, but like up to a point, the interest level falls off very quickly into like stuff we don't want to see or we feel bad about seeing or being interested in. And so this episode does not cross that proverbial line. Last week's maybe did, or at least has a question mark with it for sure. This one's fun. It's interesting, but it's a bad look for Ayana. And even if she would have survived this episode, she was going to go in repeatedly. Clearly the entire house was done with her, except for Rachel. Rachel was the one person who had her back, which is really kind of Rachel. And I loved hearing the backstory. I remember, you know, seeing it to some degree on social media as like, I remembered Ayana was a big proponent of like, I remember when she started doing Rachel's workout videos and like talked about it on her Instagram all the time of like, this is really helping. Everyone should do it. Join me in the class, et cetera, et cetera. So I loved getting to see that back. I loved getting just Rachel's, you know, fitness company, getting the shout out there. Liked all of that. Love that Rachel like sticks with her, is doing her best to kind of coach her through these moments, as we see in the early part of the episode, you know, talking about her like, hey, like you've done nothing wrong here, but remember the house we're in, the game we're in, like, let's try to not let this rub us the wrong way. Let's try to avoid some of these conversations if they're not necessary for the game, like keep the eye on the prize types of conversations. I like all of that. Let's move to Cam's side of this, though. Cam is going hard in this game. She is going very hard. She's playing, really playing the game. And it makes sense. She explains why. And I don't think it's too bad for her strategy in the game, for her and Leroy's stance in the game. But I do think it's slightly hurting, okay? She's always worked the game politically, socially. She's a master of it. That's, you know, Killa Cam is as much, yes, it's the elimination, Killa, but it's as much like the political, social, like, if you get on my radar, I will maneuver this house exactly how it needs to be maneuvered for you to get up on out of here. That is where to me, the Killa Cam is, it's two parts. It's equal parts of those, of elimination and political, social mastery here, okay? She always worked that really hard, and she's always been willing to be, like, open and honest about it. Like, if it got called out, yeah, that's what I'm doing, and it's gonna work. Like, pure confidence. But it was a little bit more of the cloak and dagger, you know, quote-unquote proper strategy of, like, I'm not gonna be out front with it until someone calls me out. If someone calls me out, I'll own up to it. I will, of course, I'm not gonna, you know, hide anything, but I'm not gonna like put it out there before someone calls me out. But it's gonna be a little more behind the scenes, and then I'm gonna celebrate in the confessional afterwards and just be this strategic mastermind that I am. This season, it's a little bit just more like, you know, she's just full gas the whole way of like, screw it, right out in front of everyone. I'm just gonna make all of this known. Every single, you know, nomination, the second time now we see the like, hey, Leroy's going to be safe, right? Okay, good. Everyone here, like, she literally in this nomination starts it with like, and so we're going to do exactly what I want and y'all are going to back me up, right? Like, she basically puts forward, there's Cam's choice and there's everyone else's, and you can all now choose me or everyone else. And, you know, which is just very, very out, upfront, aggressive. I want, this is my way. This is the line. Like, no one is trying to draw a line in the sand. I will draw the line and go stand on the other side and ask you who wants to come across with me. And it makes sense given what she talks about. I think in a confessional, maybe her and Leroy at the same time, but the like kind of the mentality of like, F it, I just had a baby. If I lose, I get to go back to my baby who I'm like, kind of feel like I want to go back to anyways. So no harm done. If I lose, I can play as loose and free as I ever could play this game because for the only time ever, I actually am fine with losing. But it still feels a little too strong too early. Like she's gonna, I feel like it's so upfront and everyone is clearly noticing and paying attention to it and feeling like they're being put on the defensive for no real, like when they don't need to be quite yet. And that moment where she might have to fall on the sword for Leroy or where both of their games get, you know, take a big hit, maybe even get them both into elimination or eliminated from the game because of it is happening a little, could happen a little sooner than it otherwise would have. Then we get to the arena and we've got Cyrus and Kiefla, Rachel and Ayana. Rachel and Ayana made sense how the votes ended up going. The Cyrus Kiefla, though, one I will quickly, because we didn't really talk all the way through the nominations, like, so Brad, Derek, and Leroy were just no discussions. Like, it was just so obvious and known in the house that Cyrus and Kiefla had to be like, yep, it's us. We'll go in. No problems. Like, I get Kiefla feeling in that position. Like, of course, I've got nothing against these guys with the relationships. But Cyrus really had, there wasn't even a conversation for Cyrus to be like, well, like, Derek and Leroy, like, I don't know. I've got as many friends as here and them. Like, do we want to talk about this? Like, maybe Brad. I see Brad. Okay, fellow OG. See the same relationship, same friends, got the star, the whole thing. But like, I thought there would have been more of a discussion. So I wonder if there was behind the scenes or if Cyrus was just like openly like, hey, I'm the alternate. I feel like alternates should go in, that sort of thing. I don't know. Thought it could be a discussion. The game they play, fantastic. Except the naming is a little ridiculous, but fantastic game nonetheless. Great alternative to Hall Brawl for the OGs to do, where it's a bit safer. It's a bit more strategic. There's kind of some strategic elements as we see play out, even though both people lose, there is a little bit of an element to it, but it is still basically who can run over the other person, who is just stronger pushing against the other person to one side or the other. So it's kind of an allusion to Hall Brawl without being, let's put both 50 plus year old men in some football pads and see what happens. We don't really need to see that on All Stars. It, you know, it's hard to say we need to see that on any version of the challenge. Kiefla looks awesome in the win. Thrilled for him. It's clear after a few challenges and now this elimination, he's a threat. He's in great shape. He's crushing it. And if he can win over some political friends in the house, you know, or just win a couple eliminations, like, he's a threat. He did well in the endurance to open the season. So my man's a threat. Love to see it. And I love how much being back on the show means to him. Both we're seeing it in the episodes as well as out on social media over the last week. Plus, he has been very open about like, this means so much. This is so cool. This is so wonderful to be back and part of this family. So absolutely love, love, love that. On the women's side, Rachel beats Ayana. They can make it out to like, it wasn't a ho-hum victory, but it was a ho-hum victory. Let's be real. And for Ayana's sake, I'm glad it was a friend that took her out. It's much easier to swallow when the friend, the one person in the house who had her back is the one that beats her here. I feel like, you know, it would have maybe gone down a little worse if it wasn't Rachel. She was acting wild in the house, for sure. Can't condone what potentially maybe happened with Janelle in the first couple of days in the house, first couple of episodes that we saw. But I still love Ayana. My heart and love goes out to her and her now present day, current day battle with cancer. So love and respect to Ayana. Don't condone all the actions, but I appreciate the entertainment that we got out of it here. Kiefla then has a decision. He takes Brad's star over Steve's. Adams was not up for grabs. And of course, you know, Kiefla wanted a star for himself. So he has to pick between two guys. Noting Brad that is a beast, and that's kind of why he picked him over, and that makes sense. You know, he doesn't technically have history with either of these two people. They're both OGs like him. So just smart move. Take the guy who is the kind of one of the favorites to win on the men's side. Rachel then is the stunner. Rachel does ask the question, do I have to take a star? Which is good. I'm glad we get that clarification. Yes, you do have to take one. And if you have one, you can't just hold two. You have to take one and give it to someone. And we also got clarification. We thought we knew this to be true, but I still kind of had a question early in the episode that yes, you can take a woman can take a man's star, but has to then give it to a man or and vice versa. So all those clarifications were great. And then she decides to respect that Cara Maria voted with her and maybe respected too much, though, because I thought for sure when this is set up, I was like, oh, we saw all that before and we saw Kara standing up for her because, and then Rachel says, the first thing she says is like, well, Kara didn't vote for me. Neither did Steve, neither did whoever else she's picking from in that moment. And so I thought it was setting up to be like, I'm sorry, Kara, but like my only options are all friends and all didn't vote for me. So I do have to betray someone. It's not that I want to betray you. It's like I have to betray someone. And so I thought she was going to take Kara's and it was going to be the beginning of Kara being separated from the Mean Girls trio, but it's not. She takes Tina's and gives it to Veronica. And clearly they discussed this before because Tina does the like fake fun reaction versus the like actual shock and bewilderment, which was what I was reacting with in that moment. And I'm sure lots of people were. I can't wait to see like the fallout of this. I don't think it'll actually be like again, Tina's reaction makes it seem like it was discussed in advance. But like, what was the plan here? What was the strategy? Just not making Kara an enemy this early? Like Rachel just like, I'll be able to get a few stars. We'll get all three of us together later. It's too strong of a look for the three of you to all have your star right off the bat. Tina just being like, you know, I didn't get mine fair or something. Like, I don't know where this came from. I thought take Steve's at least, but you know, taking Steve's doesn't do anything. Like, who's she going to give it back to Brad? I don't know. But yeah, I thought she was going to take Kara's star. I'm very interested to see what the fallout is from these decisions. Now for our awards. What a week for quotes in the Challenge House. There could have been, I mean, I got five nominees down. There could have been more than five. Fantastic weeks for quotes. Let's run through them. Early one, not the greatest quote in the world, but just indicative of the big storyline we're going to eventually get to watch unfold. Jay, quote, Nicole and Laurel are on a different page every other hour, end quote. And so I do feel like Jay's going to have to be a big time mediator this season with everything that's probably going to be going down between Nicole and Laurel. So I just threw that one in there because it was a good little stage setter for that storyline to come. Keefla, quote, the three brothers at the bottom of the barrel for dominoes. Man, in Africa, I'm not going to hear the end of this, end quote. Loved that. Loved all the dominoes discussion. Again, as I said before, Keefla then doubles up with a second nominee later in the episode. Quote, I was telling someone it's like you mess around and meet this girl in a one night stand. And then 25 years later, somebody 23andMe you and say, what up, pops, and try to build a relationship again. Absolutely unbelievable. Just what an analogy to make. I've never heard 23andMe you as like a verb before, but it makes perfect sense and just works great. And I'll probably use it at some point in the future now. So hats off to Keefla for both of those. Brandon, quote, if I could vote for Ayana twice, I would, but that means she'd actually come back. So Ayana and Rachel, really good. Brandon's just really smart and witty, quick with it off in the moment. And I, as you know, longtime listeners know, love the non-confessionals, love the in-game, in-moment quotes a lot. So that one definitely get in there. And then Jasmine, to end the episode, quote, she's been very, how do I say this nicely? She's been toxic as fuck. I can't find any sage or holy water, so I need Rachel to be a priest and take her out, end quote. Obviously, that is about Ayana. And that's your quote of the week. Jasmine had some other good ones, but we give that one the nominee and the win. Best moment of the episode, Tina recreating her photo on the wall at the beginning of the episode was really, really great. And the funny face that she makes with it and everything. And as they discussed, I forget if it was just online, if it was maybe in a podcast, maybe it was there in the moment. I forget where I heard it. I want to say it was Adam or Kara or both. Maybe discuss. I think it was Kara on Banana's podcast, which was fairly good. Discussing how the photos in the house are not the same photos that are like the cast photos. Like they're from the same photo shoot, obviously, but the background is different and the poses are different. So it's a different shot from the same photo shoot. And that all of those ones, they were kind of in agreement, at least the ones they've seen so far, look better than, or, you know, they like better than the cast photos that came out. And I too like the background a little bit better too. I like the light, bright background. But anyways, Tina recreating that photo, going to stand in front of it, being all proud of it. Fantastic. Especially now that she's, you know, going to be off the wall now and it's going to be Veronica up there. Keefla and Cyrus chatting and just catching up and just getting to be, you know, like they did and Kiefla's lone season of the challenge run into each other because famously Cyrus refereed the basketball game where Kobe and Reggie Miller came in and battled one of the teams, the Road Rules team in the end, Kiefla's team in basketball. So they had run into each other there and I'm sure knew each other from the Road Rules real world circles back then. But I enjoyed getting to watch them kind of chat and catch up. Jasmine going full Bride of Chucky on Ayana, and obviously Cam and Ayana, Jasmine and Ayana, that entire situation. And the fourth and final nominee, Kiefla, after he wins, faking, I think faking the cramp. I don't know if he faked the cramp or it just kind of went away, but the fake cramp into the humping, gyrating the ground celebration. So good. So good. Man, they just don't make them like they used to as far as reality TV personalities, do they? Out of those, obviously, though, the Cam, Ayana, Jasmine, Bride of Chucky moment is the winner of that award. Best strategy probably doesn't deserve to be handed out this week, but I will give the call out just to discuss it one more time. Cara Maria, good strategy, not perfect execution, but I do think not voting for Rachel, because especially given like it doesn't ultimately matter, is the thing that is not said in that moment by either side, is like, my vote doesn't matter. Like, this is Rachel and Ayana are going in, and so I have even more reason to not vote for Rachel, so I can say to her, I didn't vote for you. I think that all part of it and getting the loyalty, and obviously it pays off at the end of the episode, is fantastic and really smart strategy from Cara Maria. I do think she could have pitched it better to Cam, who again was being way, way up front going into that nomination. It was kind of shocking of like, this is what I want and everyone's going to back me up. And if you don't do what I want, then I'm taking it as you didn't back me up. Not just you voted differently, but like, you're going against me. I think Cara could have maybe done that conversation a little better. She gives the nod to like, Cam, I'm not trying to go against you. I just told Rachel I wouldn't vote for her, but maybe that could have been a little better. Maybe there was no way to avoid Cam feeling a little salty about it, but I do think it was the right strategy, and obviously playing the results here, it paid off that she does not vote for Rachel. So Cara, best strategy, MVP of the episode. Fifth place, we'll give the Mean Girls trio, Rachel, Veronica, Tina, all of them good confessionals. Rachel, a little more prominent in this episode with the storyline at the end, obviously, but all three of them were kind of portrayed as a group, as they often are, and very much acted like one this episode, and so they all joint nominee there. Ayana in fourth, obviously a big episode. We say goodbye to her. Cam in third, obviously we talked about it a lot, a big episode. Jasmine in second. Just, we like to see the Bride of Chucky version of Jasmine. We just do. She's one of the all-time greats as far as verbal confrontations go. But I'll give the MVP to Kiefla, who, again, had some great quotes, had the fun chat with Cyrus, and gets the elimination win in the end. So, gonna give it to the OG, my man, Kiefla. Now for our power rankings before we get out of here. The most minor change this week. On the women's side, Cara stays one, Rachel stays two, and there remains a gap between them and everyone else. But on the backside of that gap, I flip-flopped Avery over Laurel. It was previously Laurel, Avery, Nicole. I'm going Avery, Laurel, Nicole. Second daily win for Avery, and just potentially situated in a better position politically in the house, and isn't going to have the baggage that Laurel and Nicole will create together, it seems. And so just sliding Avery up into third. On the men's side, stays Brad, Leroy, Brandon, Adam, Steve. However, there was a big gap, as you recall. First, there was a gap between Brad and Leroy. Then I just said there was a gap between Brad and everyone else. Now, there's no gap. Brad is still first. Leroy is still second. Brandon's third. Adam's fourth. Steve is fifth. No gap for me, though, anymore. So that is the small change there. Predictions. I was 1 for 4, 1 for 3 last week. Flora did not have the best confessional of the episode somehow. She was still wonderful every time we did see her on screen, though. The only thing I got right was Jasmine was going to go off on Ayana, and that was kind of cheating just so I could get one right. So there you go. This week, predictions. I think there is going to be some jockeying over partners. So the thing that occurred, not just the partner breakdown we went through earlier, but the two people that go home were partnered together, Cyrus and Ayana. So if everyone wants to, if the next challenge or any of the future challenges are partners again, they could just all stay exactly the same. No one has to change because the only people that have gone home so far were partners. But I think I will predict that there will be some legit jockeying for partners. I think Cam and Leroy are both going to maybe get in on. Maybe we try to find someone else to work with here. I think Kara's name will be brought up again with a lot of people. Maybe, you know, if Brandon wants to switch it up, if Kara just wants to switch it up, I think there's going to be jockeying for partners one way or the other. I think Cam and Kara are not going to be on the same page. I think we've got allusions to that, but I think with that, the real prediction on the back of that, if we kind of know that that maybe is coming, that I think Rachel is going to ditch Kara next episode too. I think that loyalty went one time, and that's going to be the end of that. Third prediction, bold one here. My guy Jay is going to win the daily challenge. I think he is going to do that. And I do think he and whoever else is on the winner portion of the daily, whether it's partners, a team, or two individuals, I do not think any of the daily winners are going to throw themselves in elimination. I don't think we're seeing that quite yet. So those are your predictions for episode number 4. A week's a long time to wait, but wait we must. It'll be well worth it. I can't wait. Episode 4 of All Stars 4. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, midday, mid-afternoon, with that coverage. Thank you, as always, for being here. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Rate, review if you're listening on Apple or Spotify. I love you. I thank you. I will talk to you next week. Peace.